I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for Monday, August 17th, 2020, to order. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Mrs. Capalini?
Here.
Mr. Frye?
Here.
Mr. Hanem?
Here.
Mr. McCann?
Here.
Mr. Richardson?
Here.
Ms. Stowe?
Here.
Mrs. Westphal?
Here.
All seven members of City Council are present. Six are in the council chambers, and Mr. Hanem is on our Zoom access, so all seven voting members of City Council are present. I welcome all of you to our City Council meeting. We do have a few people here in the house. I don't know, Chuck, whether you can tell whether other people are watching or not. They're welcome. If there are any questions, please raise your hand and let me know, and I will recognize you at the appropriate time. With that, our Pledge of Allegiance, I ask you to join us. Mr. Hanem is going to lead us via Zoom. I think he left us.
He's on mute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. No problem. That's a difficult assignment over the Zoom. Additions to the agenda, I do have one item I'd like to add as Agenda Item 15. That is a brief discussion of the logo apparel that's available and also a review of the flag colors. So that's Agenda Item 15, which is logo and flag discussion. Mrs. Westphal?
Nothing, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Other members of City Council? Hearing none. Mr. Sanford?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Schreier, are you on the line? I don't hear him.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief Snore?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Aller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
And Mrs. Brining?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
All right. With that, is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda as amended. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and the agenda for this evening's meeting is approved as amended. Agenda Item 4 is approval of the council meeting minutes from our last regular meeting on July 20th. Mrs. Westphal?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move approval of the Sylvania City Council meeting minutes for the meeting held July 20th, 2020, as submitted.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the meeting minutes as submitted for July 20th. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries, and those July 20th, 2020 meeting minutes are approved. Agenda Item 5 is a report of the continued public hearing, ZA1, 2020, held this evening in council chambers at 7 o'clock. Mrs. Westphal?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The public hearing today recessed until September 21st, 2020, when it is more convenient for further discussion.
All right. Again, it was the owner asking for the continuation to our second meeting in September, on September 21st, and we will reconvene at 7 o'clock on the 21st. Agenda Item 6 is Proposed Ordinance 48-2020. This would be to approve a purchase agreement from First Brookside, known to many of us as the owners of Inside the Five, for city-owned properties at 5705 and 5711 North Main Street. The purchaser is present in City Council chambers tonight and is available to answer your questions. However, I'm going to turn to the city attorney to let her review the purchase orders that we have. I believe that we did review these 4 weeks ago in an executive session, and some changes, just a brief description of those changes. Mrs. Brining? Reining.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's a follow-up to a couple of the issues that we have to resolve following our executive session. We did take the parking agreement. That was the biggest item that we had to get finalized. We have that on the development agreement.
Again, it is the administration's recommendation that this sale be approved of the two properties. We have a successful business in downtown Sylvania that has presented clear plans for what they're going to do and a schedule to get it done. And I believe it is good for our downtown to move ahead with this sale. If there's no questions for me or for the owner, for the proposed owner, Ms. Dow.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 48-2020. All members of council having received copies in advance, I will read by title only. Approving the offer to purchase of First Brookside LLC to purchase 5705 and 5711 North Main Street, Sylvania, Ohio, at a sale price of $200,000. Authorizing the mayor and the director of finance to accept said offer to purchase on behalf of the city of Sylvania, determining said real estate to be no longer needed for municipal purposes, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that ordinance number 48-2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 48-2020.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 48-2020 as an emergency measure. Any discussion?
Mr. Mayor, I would like to just make a brief comment if I could. I would like to just express my my joy with this proposed plan now that we've got the owner in the room. We had the pleasure of talking about this as council members, and I think I don't want to speak on behalf of all council members at this moment, but certainly I was very pleased to see that your commitment to our downtown area. And very excited to see the continued growth and opportunity that I know will follow with the addition of this beautiful new facility. Thank you so much for your investment and for your passion for our community.
All right, we have a motion on the floor for final approval of ordinance 48-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 48-2020 is approved. Congratulations, and I echo Mrs. Westfall's comments. Brandon?
Absolutely.
City Council should know, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mrs. Brining, the city will not transfer the property to you until the tenants are out of those apartments, and then we will close on the final deal. That is at your request. Okay. Very good. Thank you for being here tonight. We'll move on to council agenda item 7, which is catty corner from this property. This is for a license to allow an awning over the north side of the build the J&G building, which is owned by the Yees, to cover some outdoor seating areas that J&G Pizza would like to put there. And again, the owner of J&G's, Nick Dallas, is here tonight if you have any questions. But we have done these license agreements in the recent past. There's no problem with it. It has been reviewed by the Planning Commission, and their recommendation was to approve it as well. If there's any questions for the administration or for Mr. Dallas, now is the appropriate time. Hearing none. Mr. Fry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 57-2020. All members of council having previously received copies, I will read by title only. Granting a license to Yee Properties LLC to enter a portion of the city-owned right-of-way to install and maintain a patio, authorizing the mayor and director of finance to sign the license agreement waiving the second and third readings and declaring an emergency.
Second.
Excuse me, I'm checking an item with the law director, a different item on the agenda. It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 57-2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move a final passage of ordinance number 57-2020 as an emergency measure.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 57-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 57-2020 is approved.
Mr. Mayor, could I make a quick comment?
Please.
I would like to also extend our appreciation to Mr. Dallas because I definitely feel this is an exciting night in our council meeting as we see two wonderful new projects coming into our downtown area. It just speaks so highly of the wonderful partners we have in our community, and we're very grateful for your vision and for the opportunity to add a little more fun and life to our downtown area. Thank you.
Thank you. We have had other license agreements come in recently, and we may be expecting a few more of these come in. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
In the future, and again, when somebody wants to make improvements on city right-of-way, they have to have these license agreements to be able to do it. That's what it was. I do have a future license agreement that will probably be here at the next council meeting. It was premature to bring it tonight because we didn't have all the specifications and locations in place. But Michelle Sprott was in to speak with me last week about the extension of the downtown lights over Main Street. And that one is going to require a license as well. The current plan is to place two poles in the downtown where they either buildings are not available or the building owners did not want the lights suspended from their buildings. And so that one will take a license agreement as well. Practically at the same location as the two previous issues we just talked about. She is working hard to get these done by her autumn farmers market that's coming up in October. That's a very challenging schedule to meet, but she wanted to make sure that council is prepared to approve her license agreement. I didn't feel that was any issue, but I thought I would bring it up tonight. Just so it's on your radar. Again, this is for improvements in our downtown area and will just result in a couple of poles coming down. There will be black poles to match in with the traffic lights and the street lights downtown, and I didn't feel that was going to be an issue at all. If you have any questions, you're welcome to talk to me or to Michelle or to the service director about it. We just weren't ready with the description for tonight. All right. Let's move along to agenda item 8. And we do have Claire Proctor on the Zoom meeting with us. She would like to talk about the proposed senior levy renewal that's on the November 3rd ballot. You do have in your council packets an information sheet. So, Claire, they do have what you sent out to us. And I would like to turn over to you to make your presentation.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you for this opportunity and your agenda tonight. For those that I've not met in the audience, my name is Claire Proctor. I'm the director of Sylvania Community Services, and we are the managing agency for the Sylvania Senior Center. And I'm here to present tonight information about the Sylvania Senior Center 0.42 mills renewal that the mayor just mentioned, that will be on the November 3rd ballot, as our current five-year levy is expiring at the end of this year, in 2020. This information was presented to the Sylvania Township trustees in June, and they agreed to put this on the ballot on the Yaxley Senior Center, as they always have since its inception year 2000. So we've been going strong for the past 20 years with our current facility, which we're very, very grateful for. So your Sylvania Senior Center serves approximately between 2,500 and 3,000 senior citizens per year. That's an unduplicated number of individuals. And it's our pleasure and our mission to promote healthy aging. And we do that in a variety of ways. Many older adults are now living longer. It's important that they stay connected to others, stay active, stay as physically fit as possible. Sometimes as we age, we can experience changes. Some changes can be more challenging than others. It could be physical changes in living situations, isolation if we're no longer working. Some may experience the loss of a spouse or children that no longer live in the area. That's why your Sylvania Senior Center is so important. Our programs are designed to help people with keep them as independent as possible and fight isolation, help them stay healthier longer, and keep them engaged in their community. Some of the things that we offer for our seniors are transportation to and from the center and to necessary errands. There are classes that focus on health issues and other topics of interest. Our fitness classes help with physical health, while our brain fitness programs help to keep the memory strong. Art classes help keep the creative juices flowing. The daily hot lunch and Tuesday evening dinner help with nutritional needs. We also reach out to those seniors in the community that cannot attend the center. We do this through our home maintenance program, and we offer phone assistance with resources in the community. In addition to helping seniors, we frequently have family members call, and they might have a question or a concern about a loved one. They may be an out-of-town adult child looking for services for their senior in the area. Besides supporting families and caregivers with resources, we also provide volunteer opportunities for our own seniors, as well as local folks in the community, including local junior high and high school students. We have many other offerings that help keep seniors independent. This is not only good for the individual, but good for our community as a whole. During the pandemic, we have continued to offer outreach and support. As soon as we knew that we would be ordered to close, we immediately began calling our participants to whom we provide essential services, to let them know and make sure that they had groceries, medicines, and a support system that would help them during our closure. Since that time, we have made thousands of calls to do wellness checks and to socialize with them. The feedback we have received from them has been heartwarming, and the calls are so appreciated. I'm sorry for my phone ringing in the background. So how do we know we're doing the right thing and we're doing it well? Well, in striving to be the best that we can be, we are nationally accredited by the National Council on Aging. And that's our way of assuring the people that we serve and all the citizens of Sylvania that we meet and exceed the standards of senior centers. Approximately 2% of all senior centers in the U.S., and there's about 15,000 of them, have national accreditation, so we're very proud to say we are part of that 2%. As long as I'm bragging, we're also very proud of the excellent community partnerships that we have, certainly with the City of Sylvania, Sylvania Township, Sylvania Schools, Flower Hospital, Lourdes University, Sylvania Area Family Services, Sylvania Rec, Orlando Park, Kingston of Sylvania, and Arbors at Sylvania, to name a few. We do lots of joint programs with these folks, and we both give and receive support from them. Over the years, we've done our part to cut costs and increase our revenues. Some examples of our cost-cutting measures include switching to LED lighting. This product is called 75% complete. We've renegotiated the contracts with some of the instructors. We've taken on some of the outside maintenance ourselves. We have wonderful volunteers in the office, especially with them, and that many other tasks that help at reducing costs. Our revenue enhancement measures include soliciting donations. We received a various donation a couple of years ago from the estate of Howard Hilfiger, known as Skip Hilfiger, for those of you who knew him. And that helped us refurbish the library and replace some of the furnishings. Skip was a longtime board member and a terrific supporter of the center. We also have a participant council, and it's our own senior participants that do fundraising for the center every year in order to help defray costs. So now I'd like to direct you to the budget page that you were given in your packet tonight. The budget that you have before you includes maintaining our current programs and staffing levels, no increases. We have built in inflation for the expenses across those 5 years. In order to maintain our current programs, we're asking for a renewal of the 0.42 mils that will cover most of our costs over the next 5 years. The remaining funds needed will come from reserves. So the budget you have before you shows our four main revenue streams: program income, grants and donations, our Area Office on Aging grant, which includes federal, state, and local Lucas County levy dollars coming back to the community. These three streams make up 23% of our budget, helping to offset our request for public financial support. Our levy requests represent 77% of our projected revenue. This request will cost the taxpayer $13.30 on $100,000 of home value. So for a home value at $200,000, it will cost the taxpayer about $27 per year. Small cost, big impact. This will generate $554,000 per year for the senior center. Moving on to the expense portion of the budget, we have built in inflation for expenses across the 5 years. And they're listed by category, with the greatest percentage toward salaries and benefits, which is typical for a social services agency. And next would be our occupancy costs, such as utilities, building supplies, and maintenance costs. On your line 70 of expenses, our building refurbishing set aside amount is listed. This represents the amount we save each year to pay for the items that we are responsible for refurbishing, such as painting, carpeting, parking lot repair, heating and cooling equipment replacement, and major maintenance items. On line 79, you'll see our projected net income, which goes down over the 5 years, as you would expect, with revenues staying relatively constant and expenses increasing. With the capital equipment replacement we have scheduled, we expect to absorb about $51,000, which is on your line S81, by spending some of our reserves. Those capital equipment replacement details are on page 2 of your budget. What you see on page 2 is our projected cost of the facility refurbishing items, such as parking, and some of the other items I mentioned, painting, carpeting, heating and cooling maintenance, and replacement. And below that in green, you'll see the other capital items. Beginning on line 153, you'll see our projected cash on hand and what our expenditures will be for refurbishing, as well as our total year-end December 31st projected for each of those 5 years. I am respectfully requesting your endorsement tonight, and I'm happy to answer any immediate questions you might have, and I thank you for your time tonight.
If I may put this in perspective for council members before you ask your questions, this dates back to the year 2000. The senior center was housed in the basement of the old Burnham building, and the city led the effort to build a new senior center. And we were able to convince Sylvania Township to participate in the capital costs of building that new senior center. We actually went through a process of selling bonds to them, I believe is the proper way, such that they could not change their mind about repaying their part of the debt for the new senior center when the trustees changed hands. That was a successful event. The other part of it was that we would not start construction in the new senior center until we had an operating levy to operate it. We did not want to have a new facility and no operating funds for it. So this operating levy was put on the ballot at the same time in 2020, and it has passed and passed every 5 years since then, and it has been a very successful facility. Claire, I'm not sure that you said about the fact that you were the one of the first senior centers accredited in the area. You had a success a couple of years ago with that.
We did. I don't think there's any other senior centers in the immediate area, not in Winthrop County anyway, that has a national accreditation.
So this has been an, that's great. We have good leadership at the senior center, and we have a good financial plan that paid for the construction of the senior center. It was built at the same time that we added on to Tam O'Shanter. We had a lot of state funding involved in it and Lucas County funding as well. And it has been a great success for our community to have that facility and to have it to continue to operate on the level that it does. Claire, I'm sure that there's some questions here, but my first one was you stated different numbers for the cost of the on $100,000 per home value. Your sheet lists $1,137 per year, and you quoted 13 something.
Oh my goodness! You know what? Your sheet is correct. I apologize for that. It is 11.
Okay. It's a bargain either way.
$1,137 per year. I apologize for that.
All right. Any questions from members of City Council? Mr. Hanum.
Thank you, Mayor. As Council is quite a representative, great organization. I succeeded Mark Lutke in this role, and I've got a perk that I've been very impressed with the organization, with the board, with Claire's work, and you know, this has been a very challenging year. In a lot of ways, the COVID pandemic has challenged public agencies' life, this one, in ways that we could have not anticipated. And I can just tell you, I've been very impressed with the response of both the board and Claire in her role as director. And I obviously voted as a member of the board to move forward with this levy, and I understand I am permitted to vote in council on this endorsement, and I will do so without reservation.
This is Westfall.
I have just a couple points of clarification because we do have a couple of new council members at the table. I don't think we're present when we've had this discussion before. So, Mrs. Brining, I wonder if you could help refresh our memories. I know we've had some conversation around endorsing levies in the past, and just to make sure it's top of mind for everyone. Certainly, renewals, especially when they're for fabulous organizations, are easier to support. But I just want to make sure we all understand where we were with that policy.
First, based in advance, the budget, and also the impact to the average homeowner. So, presentation covered all of those.
Okay.
So I did not prepare legislation for passage tonight. That's certainly something to consider if you'd like to order that legislation and bring it to the next.
And what is the timeline that we would need to approve legislation for it to have an impact?
That's probably more of a clear question. As far as when she would like that for timing, I talked to her about our next meeting on the 8th, and I know that's not that matter of timing.
Okay.
But I didn't go beyond that.
Okay. Claire, is that in keeping with what you were thinking as well?
Yeah. Leslie and I spoke about that earlier today, and that would be just fine.
Claire, I have one more question for you. Can you share with me who else you're reaching out to get an endorsement, and have you received any endorsements yet?
Yours is the first that I'm asking for. Of course, the Sylvania Township voted to put it on the ballot, which I know is not the same as an endorsement, but... Excuse me. I'll also be going to Sylvania Area Family Services, Sylvania Area Joint Recreation District. I approached Sylvania Chamber, but apparently they don't do an official endorsement anymore. The Area Office on Aging.
Thank you.
I'm missing anybody. Those are the ones that I intend to approach.
Great. Thank you.
City Council has the opportunity to follow your policy and endorse it as a City Council. You also have the opportunity to endorse it as individuals. You can do both or the other. I have always endorsed this levy as mayor in the past, and I will do it again this year. I think council needs to be cognizant of following your own policy and be cognizant of the fact that there are other issues on the ballot that you may very well be requested to endorse. There's a fire levy for 1.9 bills on the levy, and there's a 2 mil Metro Park levy that you may be approached as well. There could be some county levies that are coming and ask for your endorsement. A lot of organizations like the Chamber have now said they don't do organizational endorsements. They do them as individuals. That's why your policy is in place, so you have the opportunity to consider that, and you certainly shouldn't be rushed into it. If you're ever going to endorse a levy, this is the one to endorse. But be cognizant, this won't be the last.
Hi, Claire, Brian McCann. I have a question, a historical question, because I wasn't here, of course, for the last. Is the, since this is a renewal, the numbers that you state, the 0.42 mil, 1137 on a $100,000 home, what was that? Do we have that information of what the figure has been since the last renewal?
Has it increased to me?
Yes.
You can do a renewal where I don't think it increases much at all. The effective rate of the levy millage goes down, or you can do replacement. And I think you've done a replacement in the past, Claire, but this is not a replacement.
Correct.
So these dollars remain unchanged. That's correct.
Does not collect additional dollars.
Right.
And that's my understanding of a renewal. I was just curious of the rate. And of course, it would be valuations.
Right. The effective rate, I'm sure, is less than 0.42 mils. It's probably down 0.28 or 0.3 or something like that.
From the conception.
But I think they did do a replacement levy at one time. This is more than it would have been in the first place. But this is a replacement, this is a renewal, not a replacement.
Okay.
We can have the finance director investigate that and look at it historically. Looking at their budget over the next 5 years, they may need a replacement levy in 5 years because they're getting farther behind. But they also, if you look at their financial statement, they have 6 months of operating funds in their account as well. That's right where they should be. So that's probably why they're going to stay with a renewal rather than a replacement, especially in a year like 2020.
Well, I don't want to speak on the school here, but I know the board considered replacement or renewal, and we opted to pursue the renewal at this time. And because we didn't feel we were in a position where we needed to ask for new dollars.
That's correct. And, you know, given the state of our community and our world these days, we wanted to stay with the renewal and not ask for any new dollars. And to speak to your question, Brian, earlier as well, when this first started 20 years ago, we were at 0.32 mills. And we either had asked for a replacement or a renewal for three levy cycles after that. And 5 years ago, we asked for a 0.10 increase to bring us up to a total of 0.42 mills. So, years that we had replacements, there was new money that came along with that. But we've been able to keep some money in the bank, recognize some savings wherever we can, and just come to the electorate asking for just a renewal this time.
Thank you for the information.
It might be appropriate for the law director to email out to all of you City Council's policy on endorsements, just so you know what the rules are that you need to follow. You can request legislation be prepared tonight for our meeting in 3 weeks. That'll be the earliest that we can have that ready for you, or you can wait to even prepare the legislation. But my recommendation is that you prepare the legislation if you're so inclined. It doesn't mean you have to approve it then. You can review your own policy and make your decision at that council meeting.
I'll make that motion that we ask administration to prepare legislation for the senior center levy renewal.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to direct the administration to prepare legislation for endorsing the senior center operating levy renewal. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and we'll also send out your endorsement policy. All right. Thank you, Claire.
Thank you, members of council. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Certainly. With that, I believe we're ready to move on to agenda item 9, which includes items 9A through 9F. This is to approve temporary construction easements for construction on Cushman Road. Mr. Aller, can you give us a synopsis of the property? I see you've turned on your camera.
Oh. I didn't figure anybody wanted to look at my house and look any longer than we had. That's awful now. This project is primarily a waterline project, but we're also doing some storm sewer and drainage improvements while we're in the project area. Through the years that I've been with the city, we've had several requests to have driveway pipes changed. We've had questions on how residents can get rid of water that sets up in front of their house. And when we take a look at it, it's the drive pipes that were put in just don't seem to be coordinated very well. We have, you know, some that should be higher than they are, and some that should be lower than they are. And so with this project, we felt we had the opportunity to really get that area straightened out and get the drainage set up the way it should be set up. And so with those changes, it does require us to ask temporary easements to give some additional work for, primarily for that storm sewer system. The water system also comes with the plants. So you will see the easements that we have before you tonight. You'll see quite a range. I think they range from $120 up to about almost $4,900. The primary reason for that are trees or something that has a value that might be in that temporary easement area that will frontage. Some properties don't have any trees, and that's where the fluctuation of prices come from.
Your report talks about 25 parcels required for construction easements. Should we expect more, or are the other ones at no cost to the city?
No, we will have more coming. Because there are 25, we didn't want to dump 25 easements on council at one night. So we are kind of metering these out, if you will. We'll bring about half a dozen or so of each house to get it.
25 parcels are going to benefit from the work at no expense. In fact, they're all going to get some dollars to allow us access onto their property.
Correct.
And the ones that are losing trees are getting more compensation.
Yes.
All right. We do have six of those tonight. First off, are there any questions for Mr. Aller? Excuse me, we have five of them tonight. Any questions for Mr. Aller? If not, I have put in a different council member's name on each one of these, members of the Utilities or the Streets Committee, starting with the Street Chairman, Mr. Fry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce Ordinance Number 49-2020. All members of council, having previously received copies, I will read by title only. Accepting a temporary construction easement from Howard R. and Carolyn L. Brown for the improvement of Cushman Road, dedicating a temporary easement for public purposes, appropriating funds therefore, waiving the second and third readings, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that Ordinance Number 49-2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of Ordinance Number 49-2020 as an emergency measure.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of Ordinance 49-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and Ordinance 49-2020 is approved. Now to go to Ordinance 50-2020. Mr. McCann.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce Ordinance Number 50-2020. All members having received copies in advance, I'll read by title only. Accepting a temporary construction easement from Howard R. and Carolyn L. Brown for the improvement of Cushman Road, dedicating the temporary easement for public purposes, appropriating funds therefore, and waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that Ordinance Number 50-2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of Ordinance 50-2020 as an emergency measure.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of Ordinance 50-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and Ordinance 50-2020 is approved. Going to Ordinance 51-2020, Mr. Richardson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to introduce Ordinance Number 51-2020. All members of council having previously received copies, I will read by title only. Accepting a temporary construction easement from Jason W. Nowicki for the improvement of Cushman Road, dedicating the temporary easement for public purposes, appropriating funds therefore, waiving the second and third readings, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that Ordinance Number 51-2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of Ordinance Number 51-2020.
Second. It's moved and seconded for final passage of Ordinance 51-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and Ordinance 51-2020 is approved. Moving to the second page of our agenda, we are up to proposed Ordinance 52-2020. Mr. Hanum.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move back to Ordinance Number 52-2020. All members of council have previously received copies that will be by title only. Accepting a temporary construction easement from Gary Rock and the improvement of Cushman for the improvement of Christmas Road, dedicating a temporary easement for public purposes, appropriating funds therefore, waiving the second and third reading, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 52-2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move final passage of ordinance number 52-2020 as an emergency measure.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 52-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 52-2020 is approved. Up to agenda item 9F, we have proposed ordinance 53-2020. Mrs. Capellini.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 53-2020. All members of council having previously received copies, I'll read by title only. Accepting a temporary construction easement from Graham Scott for the improvement of Cushman Road, dedicating the temporary easement for public purposes, appropriating funds therefore, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that ordinance number 53-2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move final passage of ordinance number 53-2020 as an emergency measure.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 53-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 53-2020 is approved. That's five for tonight with more to come at our next meeting. Moving on to agenda item 10. At a recent meeting, City Council approved the construction of a sanitary sewer extension on Acres Road. We have a hardship request that's come to us that allows the payment for the assessment not to be forgiven, but to be deferred. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, one of the homeowners in that area, and we tend to about just going into the project, but she is on a limited income, limited fixed income, and has requested a hardship deferment. The total cost that she would be looking at deferring is $13,895.83. This amount would be placed as a lien on the property, and then would become due basically at some time that the property might transfer payments, whether it be to a sale, her property owner passed away and passed on to her children. The amount that becomes due, that's how it's handled. It's just on the property. I've done these through the years on various properties. Typically don't get a large call for it, but I would recommend approval of the hardship deferment.
What is the deferment period? Is it set up over 20 years or so?
Yes, 20 years.
Okay. We do have legislation to accomplish this, and of course the administration is in favor of this. We have ordinance 54-2020 to grant this hardship deferment. Mr. Fry.
If I might ask a question. Mr. Aller, the deferment, I'm going to be in favor of it, just as an understanding for my purposes, where do we stand in the process since we're deferring this as far as the sale of the property? Is this homeowner allowed to do like a reverse mortgage which would eliminate the equity potentially in her home? Where do we stand in the pecking order, for lack of a better way of putting it, to receive our funding back?
I don't know how it works with a reverse mortgage, Mr. Fry. I don't know how that would work, but Typically what has happened on the other projects that I've been involved in is the house actually changes hands. It gets sold. Even if it were a death situation, typically the children aren't interested in coming into the home and look to sell it. Upon sale is what I've gotten the funds in the past, on past projects that I've been involved in.
Thank you.
And it is.
It's a surprise, not that you need any amateur legal advice on this, but my understanding is that to the extent there are liens ahead of ours, those would be honored to the extent by reverse mortgage or shadows in the future. It's not going to be behind ours, but it'll be subject to our lien.
So it's a timing issue, Mr. Hanum?
I'm sorry?
So it's a timing issue, first come?
It's a timing issue.
Got it.
Whatever is out there now would be ahead of us, and whatever comes after us is after us.
Thank you.
And it is carried at 2.12%, which is a sign of the times, very low rate. And again, it's not being forgiven, it's being deferred. Mr. McCann.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 54-2020. All members of council, having received copies in advance, I'll read by title only, authorizing a hardship deferment for the sanitary sewer special assessment for 6024 Acres Road, Sylvania, Ohio, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that ordinance number 54-2020 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 54-2020.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 54-2020 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 54-2020 is approved. Moving on to agenda item 11. These are for water and sewer rate changes, increasing the sewer rate and decreasing the water rate. We're going to start with the decreasing the water service charges. You have a report from Mr. Aller, but walk us through this, Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Last November, Council approved a reduction in the rates, and that was primarily in response to the fact that we have, the decision was made on our water source. And so we are on steady ground, if you will, on what costs we may see in that agreement. We have a 5-year schedule set with the city's legal water rates will be as far as the cost of our water. And so we addressed a couple larger increases that we had done a few years back. In anticipation of possibly changing that water source and having a reserve that we can still decide. So in November of last year, we made an adjustment due to that decision we made. In taking a look at what our expenses have been and what our known capital improvements are going to be coming up in the next several years, we believe that we can do another decrease of down to $8.74, my apologies, to the water. This still gives us, with our expenses, that no capital expenses that we have over the next 5 years, this will still leave us with a healthy reserve for us to be able to, if something should occur in the capital expense arena, such as our pumping station. Right now, the thing's running like a charm, but one lightning storm can change that very quickly. So we believe that this will still give us a healthy reserve at the end of 5 years. We would still have approximately $1.8 million in reserve, and we would recommend the decrease of $8 to $8.41.
Your report says that this rate reduction for an average household would save about $1.81 per month. That's based on 5.5 thousand gallons?
Yes, that's based on our average household. We take a look at our average household in the city of Sylvania. uses about 5,500 gallons a month of water. So based on that average household, it would be approximately $1.81, yes.
All right. Maybe what we ought to do is to, there is an ordinance for this, but we're not really looking for your approval tonight. Let's go on and let Mr. Aller talk about a sewer rate increase. This one needs to go up because of increased fees and a low balance. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, one of the victims, if you will, of the actions that we took on the water side were the sewer rates. We did have some large increases on the water rate side, trying to make sure that we had those reserves that I mentioned in our previous discussion here this level. As a result of that, we did our best to hold the sewer rates stable, so as not to request any additional funds from the citizens than we had to. We, because of projects that have occurred at the wastewater treatment plant, and some operational changes that have been occurring over there, where we struggled, the sewer fund is beginning to, the balance is becoming lower than what we would like to see. And I think it's time to increase that and start getting those reserves built back up. Over the next 3 to 4 years, we will be doing probably $4 million of improvements to the sanitary sewer system. A large part of that, about 3.5 of it, is in mining the trunk sanitary sewer that we will be doing with over two phases. Those are all EPWC projects that council has approved. Approximately half of those projects will be paid for with that EPWC grant, but we will be getting loans from the Ohio Water Development Authority for the other half of those. In addition, we have a large project, we have a large street project that's coming up on South Main Street between 10 Mile Creek and Convent. With that project, we need to, in front of that project, we need to get sanitary sewer lateral replaced. Sanitary sewer levels in that area are old, vitrified clay. When we come in there with the street equipment, vibratory rollers and all of that equipment, those levels just won't hold up. We will have a bad situation on our hands. So in front of that, we're going to be replacing all of those levels, and we're taking a look at a couple different options. But that project is going to be at least $500,000, probably more so than the middle, about $700,000 to $800,000. So that's in excess of $4 million that we're going to be spending over the next 4 years on our sanitary sewer system. And so unfortunately, with all of that, we are looking at needing to increase the sanitary sewer rate. And we're looking at a 65-cent per 1,000 gallon increase on that side of the equation. Now, the sewer rates are quite a bit lower than the water rates, so from a dollar standpoint, it's not as big of a factor. However, obviously, this is a 65-cent increase. Again, using that same average household of 5,500 gallons per month, this increase would increase the average household bill $3.58, just on its own. So if you take the net, we're increasing on the sewer side $3.58 per month, but we're also decreasing $1.81 per month on the water side. So the net effect from these two recommendations would be an increase of $1.77 per month for water sewer.
And what percentage is that of the total bill?
It's approximately 2% increase over what today's bill would be.
All right. 2% increase. We appreciate your work on that. Mr. Aller does have spreadsheets prepared for review by the utility committee that can take a look at the expenses for both of them and the balances of those funds. We forwarded those to Mr. McCann and to Council President Westfall in advance last week, so you could take a look at it. We are not pressing for quick approval of this. We recommend a utility committee meeting be established to review these two rate changes. But your call. If you want to approve them tonight, that's fine with me.
I'd like to refer this to committee.
Yes.
For September 8th at 7 p.m. It's a Tuesday meeting following Labor Day. In addition to, I'd like to add a solar energy option that was brought to our attention as another discussion point for that meeting, if that works for the committee members.
Mr. McCann, what time did you say?
7 p.m. Would that, how long do we think we need for the discussion?
So I hate to just butt in on the utilities committee meeting, but I was thinking that. Okay, so Ruth Stiff in Stiff Lake is a property on Eldon, and they've got a flooding problem, and I know it's been going on for a long time. And I'm not suggesting we're going to find an answer to it, but I'm hoping that we could have a discussion just to understand it a little bit better. I know that Kevin has done some research and found that a study to figure out the situation, if I'm phrasing that right, is probably about $30,000, and it seems like it's going to be a rough budget year, but I know that it's been bothering these people for a long time, so I'm just hoping we could understand it better.
Mrs. Capolini, are you asking that to be added to the utilities agenda?
Yes, I am. So I'm wondering, and I brought that up because I thought if I added it at the last minute, and now the meeting's only half an hour.
Could,
that's why I'm
Kevin,
throwing
could
it
you,
out there.
Expand on that?
What? Yeah, the situation that Kathleen's talking about is a study that we would do on Eldon Ditch. It's the Eldon Ditch drainage area that is, we have problems up in the, how is this Kathleen? I can't remember the street number.
Eldon.
It's Eldon.
Radcliffe.
Eldon, Radcliffe.
It's been a situation that we've had flooding problems in the Memorial Park area, then getting rid of the water downstream. They performed, they increased the pipe size at some point downstream of the Memorial Field, but it really wasn't done with any study. It was just, let's put this back in. It fixed the problem right where they were at, but I think it exacerbated the problem up in the health area more and more. To not do something, to fix one problem and cause another, I'd really like to do a study and take a look at what's the smart engineering thing to do to take care of that whole area. This drainage area takes in water from Michigan, comes down Memorial Highway, and comes underneath the railroad tracks, and ultimately flows out right at the 10-mile creek at Fairwinkle Park. So it takes in a pretty large area, and I think it's something that we need to take a look at the whole area. But I think we have maps that kind of show it. I can kind of show you a little better on the maps and that kind of stuff, but. That was something that we, right now, our plan was to include that study in 2020.
So, Mr. Ehler or Mr. Mayor, is this something that should be going to utility at this point in time? It sounds like you've got a plan in place, but I just want to make sure.
I think to include it on the utility committee will give you a little bit more of an update. The city has struggled with water sheeting down off of the farm fields north of the Ohio-Michigan line for a long time. We had to address this farther west with the ditch that comes down into Highland Meadows Golf Course in the past, and this is just going to extend it a little bit further to the east, and we need to take a look at it. So for a little, he can show you the maps at the utility committee. I think that makes sense, but it's just that we're going to study it. He's already said we're, and he wants to do it this year. So I think that's plain, but it'll give you a little better understanding in case others of you get a call about it. Stiff Lake is a local term that's used up there. If you look at some of the maps of Toledo, it doesn't show Stiff Lake, but it does show up at the Whiteford Valley Golf Course, a lake up there as well, that's not there anymore, except after a really big storm. There are drainage issues, and it's not because it's north of it and water flows downhill on a map. It's because it's flowing down into Sylvania. When you come down US 23, you're coming down quite a grade towards the Ottawa River at that point. We are downhill from Michigan here in Sylvania, and we have to find a way to intercept the water and get it to the drainage ways rather than going through our residents' properties. So it makes sense. You might want to have a little bit more time because the solar issue, investing in solar electric generation, might take a little bit of time as well.
So, Kevin, would you think another 30 minutes appropriate or possibly more than that?
I think so. I would think unless housing, unless committee members feel differently, I think we could probably get through those in an hour.
That is immediately before our next council meeting in 3 weeks and a day. If you're not concerned about the utility rate increases, the 2% increase, I'm fine with that, but I'd rather not get pushed back on those too much. If you need time to consider those, we should schedule a utility committee meeting an earlier date. But I don't sense any resistance to those.
Thoughts from other committee members?
6:30, that's it works.
Okay.
Thank you.
And we're talking about September 8th, correct?
Yes.
Tuesday, September the 8th, we probably ought to have a motion to set that utility committee meeting.
I'd like to move that we set the utilities committee meeting for Tuesday, September 8th, set for 6:30 p.m.
Second.
And moved and seconded to set a utilities committee meeting on Tuesday, September 8th at 6:30 p.m. for the discussion of water and sewer rate changes, possibility of investing in solar energy, and the issue with drainage coming down from Michigan. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries, and the clerk is directed to post that meeting.
Thank you.
All right. That takes care of agenda item 11 for now. We will bring back proposed ordinances 55 and 56, 2020 for consideration after utilities committee reviews them. Moving on to agenda item 12, this is approval of items to be auctioned on govdeals.com. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. At the beginning of the year, Council has approved, it was part of the capital improvement plan, the replacement of the dump truck. We have received the new dump truck and with all the equipment and snow and ice control equipment and things like that. And so we are ready to dispose of the truck that's replaced. The truck that's replacing is a 2001 service dump truck with a plow. And 19 years it's time for somebody else to have it. And we recommend approval of posting it on dump here.
We feel that we've gotten everything out of this vehicle, but I'm always pleasantly surprised by the value to somebody else when we give them a chance to bid on it. So it's our recommendation that we authorize that dump truck for sale or listing and sale on govdeals.com. Mr. Fry, it's a street truck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I make a motion to place the obsolete equipment, which is the dump truck that Mr. Aller described, up on GovDeals for bidding by various parties.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to authorize that truck to be authorized for sale on GovDeals. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. On to agenda item 13. Any additional committee reports to be made at this time? Or agenda item 14, committee referrals? Hearing none, added agenda item 15. You've all received an email about the sale of city logo apparel, both for elected officials and for the public. We encourage you, if you're interested, to do that. We are not, and our consultant, Fuller Art Gallery, Art House, is not benefiting or profiting from those. They're simply available from independent contractors. And Lindsay, I saw you posted that on your Facebook page, so.
And I bought some as well.
Okay. What I want to talk about is the city flag. The city flag is what started this whole logo update, which has been a very good process. You're going to see in this week's Sylvania Advantage a report or an article that Sharon investigated with me about the process for the new logo and where the old logo had come from, the one that's up here behind me and we're investigating replaced right now. But these are the two possibilities for the flag. You had seen this before. There's no changes to the design of it, and you approved it with the dark green. I asked our consultant, Danny Fuller, to do one on a white background simply because I am concerned about the color fastness of the dark green color. If you take a look at any of the city flags that have flown in front of City Hall or elsewhere, like in front of Tam O'Shanter for very long, you'll find that the green stripes, can you grab that, Sharon, and pull it out a little bit, just pull the flag out. That green goes to blue-green very quickly, and it's no longer green. And I was hoping to get a solid answer from our consultant, and we also contacted a flag manufacturer to see how color-fast the flags are. My recommendation is that we go ahead with this very dark green and see how they work out. It'll be quite striking. But I wanted you to be aware that if it turns blue-green pretty quickly, I don't think that's appropriate, and we will get, I'll recommend that we go to the second possibility. Perhaps the fabric will be more color fast than the printing on that flag. That could be the reason. A lot of colors do fade in ultraviolet. So I really don't need any action from you other than to agree that this is the flag you approved, and we'll get some ordered. It looks like the appropriate order right now would be 15 flags, just to have a look at them. I think they're going to be quite striking, but we cannot confirm the color fastness of the fabric. I hope it works out. We may turn flags over quicker than we have in the past. And so that's an informational item, unless you have comments about it.
Mr. Mayor, just out of curiosity, how much does a flag cost? $50 or $150 to be able to sense of that?
I can find out. I know that Laura Bigelow is investigating that in my office. We'll find out.
Just curiosity.
I would say $100 is a nice round number. They are custom made.
Right.
If you just get one, it's going to cost a lot more. 15 is a number that'll keep us in business for a year or two.
Okay.
If you're interested, call the mayor's office, and I'm sure she can give you an answer. Okay. That brings us to the end of our approved agenda. There are a couple items in the information packet. Agenda item A is we've been asked if we want to appoint anybody to the NRAC Council. That's a Natural Resources Assistance Council. We did appoint somebody to this council in the past. They help with designating and overseeing the expenditure of Clean Ohio funds. Over the years, $16 million have come back to Lucas County, and we did have a good appointment on this maybe 10 years ago. We have until September 4th to nominate candidates, and if you have any recommendations, I would be happy to nominate them to TEMACOG. You don't need to come up with a name right now, but I wanted to put it in front of you. It's always good to have Sylvania appointees on some of these councils. I just don't have a name to fill that one right now.
Could it be someone from the street commission?
It certainly could be. It should be a city resident, but a tree commission member would be fine. If you've got a name and they're interested, they can talk to Sarah Geyer down at, she's the water quality planner at TEMACOG, to think about what the time obligation would be. And we do not have another council meeting before then. However, I can put a letter of nomination and recommendation with their qualifications. It's good to put good people on these committees, and it's even better if they're from Sylvania. So I'm.
Mayor, I have a partner who practices in the, with me and my partner, I'll talk to him.
Is he a Sylvania resident?
He is, yes.
That would be perfect. Okay.
Mr. Mayor, I had a question about one of the reports we received.
Sure. We're ready to move off of A, yes. Go right ahead.
I'm going to push ahead, if that's all right. This is actually pretty cheap. Just overview quickly. When I was going through the statistics, like the 2020 Q2, everything was significantly less than the 2019 Q2. Is that COVID related or?
Yeah,
okay.
It's related to COVID and the traffic. And COVID was very significant on offense reports, arrests, dramatic on arrests. Traffic enforcement, obviously, when we were on the new schedule, we really didn't want much contact with the public. Not to mention the fact there were probably less than 50% of the cars on the road there for several weeks. And the other factor is with the civil unrest in the country last month and a half or so, you know, some of the officers are probably hesitant to make contact. We've been talking to the officers, trying to re-engage on that slowly. We're starting to see these things pick back up.
Yeah, and the overtime, that was one that we caught my eye. It's like a fraction of the overtime hours from 2019, which I've.
Not many officers with the limited hours that help us on sick time.
Yeah.
And we didn't have any special event hours except for the long tournament for the year. And that's where we spend a lot of those overtime dollars are going to special events. We get reimbursed for a lot of those hours,
yeah,
but we spend a lot of overtime on special events this year.
And going into the third quarter, we won't have the school resource officers in schools that aren't open, so those officers become available to us for road patrol as well.
Okay. Thank you.
One thing that was up in the police reports, I believe, was crashes, unfortunately.
Yeah, the rate of injury accidents compared to group accidents overall is higher.
Okay, well, Mr. Richardson got us to what I hold up every quarter. These are the second quarter reports, not the third quarter, but second quarter reports. I recommend you put them in your binders and have them available if you get questions from the public. And Mr. Richardson, I appreciate you asking a question about it. That's what they're for. All right, any additional business to be discussed by City Council at this time? If not, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for adjournment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and this City Council stands adjourned until its next regularly scheduled meeting in 3 weeks and a day on September 8th, 2020 at 7:30 p.m. Thank you all for attending.